But I, we'll never be able to compete. The only thing I was going to say and last was timing. You know, also getting in and out of the, when you're dumping the sewage off and from the septic. Are we compatible or quicker than Delaware County? Because that is the one fall about the trash to steam. You could be a garbage truck up there for 4 hours. Where in Cherry Hill, we guarantee you 20 minutes or less.
I think we're very, I mean, I think it's, that's not an issue. We're pretty close, you know, to the off-ramp to 95 for 141. There's hardly anybody ever waiting. Two trucks can dump at one time, and I don't think the wait time is
I mean, it's a selling point is all what I'm saying. If that's something else that we could get out there to them. I don't know what Delaware County is. They might be as fast as we are. I don't know. I just know in the waste industry they're not.
Yeah, the time is important.
Wayne Merritt has. He keeps having this
To Councilman Sheldon's question, we've actually done a study and have been sitting on putting out a document for a request for proposal to upgrade the airport septic station. But it was hard to do that as our revenue continued to drop. This is about $1 million cost. So it would be, in the current trend, it just wasn't, didn't make sense to try and upgrade the plant operation. So if this is successful, then we would expedite the ability of trucks to get in and out of there.
I mean, it's a selling point. Yeah. I mean, we that's what we got to do here. We got to sell our product.
Just, with what? Looking at their rate at $18 and septic tank 500 gallons, they're charging 150 to 200 to pump the gallon. So if we're charging, if you're up this end with that clean of waste at $18, you know, that's $40 that pays for some fuel. It pays a man to run up over the line. I mean,
that's all you're hauling,
you know.
Right?
But if you're hauling with the other stuff at 60, you know, you might as well just stay here.
Right.
But you know, they're passing that along to my constituents. You know, because it's really gone up compared to what it was probably 5 years ago. You know, so you're $9 compared to $30 to pump a household septic tank. Pay on that end, they're still charging $150 to $200. Depends if you dig it up or they dig it up. But that looks better. We knew there was something wrong here. That's interesting. But it's funny with Councilman Sheldon with the waste, knowing what goes in and out of it, being on the authority.
Yeah.
A lot of the same thing.
Well, yeah, but one's liquid, one's not. One's wet, one's dry, you say. One more question. I guess what I'm going to is on the fuel cost that was hit on. You know, if at this point, even if you're below Middletown, you're probably going to go to Smyrna because it's just 95. Do if they're going up to 70 and hopefully more, you said you were going to, did I hear, look into an actual study for cost benefit as far as fuel goes? Because
we try to throw that in. We found some literature online. I don't know how accurate it is. You guys probably know that. $1.38 a mile for trucking costs. Seems like it was.
Is that what
about
it was?
The right number.
Because I know trash trucks get 4 miles a gallon. I mean, they're not much. These probably get a little more, but
depends if they're loaded or not.
Yeah.
We tried to throw that in, but it was hard. With stuff coming from so many different areas, it was kind of hard to.
I mean, because it's kind of tough without a differential fee to say we're going to do something back, to say I'm going to go here every day, because, like I said, below Middletown, I don't know, it depends what their prices are. They might still go to Smyrna instead of Newcastle. I don't know. It's just, I don't know where that line is right. What I'm saying.
And that's what I, you know. I know I said in the beginning, is there any way we could take some at Water Farm 1? And most of that would be household, the cheaper stuff. on the lower end. You know, is there any way to, you know, even separating that out?
Specify no restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want any grease there. We just want...
And let Wayne Merritt, I think, General Manager of Special Services, unless we staff that position, there's never, and treat our intestines, there's no guarantee the honor system will work. We did look for us to do what would be necessary, and our preference would be not to do it at Water Farm 1, but there is another ideal location that we have down.
Kind of the pump station.
Exactly. But it would probably be, for the smaller site, somewhere around 700,000, I think, for that installation. So we'd be curious to see if we go to $60, how that affects the revenue.
Yeah, and then go from there to see if we could add, you know, because that would add to the volume to the plant. A little more efficient. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Are our haulers contracted? Going in circles, I'm sorry. You know, if you come, you come, or do they have a contract with us? And if they had a contract with us, would there be an incentive knowing that they then would come to us every time?
They have a permit, but there's no...
But there's no contract with us. Is that something to think about, that there would be different rates depending on what their stability would be?
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that where you're going?
Give you X amount of dollars. The more you bring me, the more I give you back in Christmas time, basically, is what it is.
But it should be contracted so you know they're always coming?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wayne Merritt.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Social Services. 2 points to that. One is, we have discussed the loyalty program. And whether it's a payback at the end of the year, or it's a discount at certain predetermined volumes that should take place. That's the first point. And the second point, I forgot already.
It was good.
Contract. I mean, the permit is essentially the contract. I mean, when they come in and they let us know it's A1 or whoever the contractor is, so there's a relationship. A hauler just can't come in without having had that permit, or which essentially becomes their
right,
key
but they
to
can,
get into the building.
Right, but they can go, they can have permits to more places, so you can come and go.
Right.
Where my thought was that if we had an exclusive kind of, that then you knew that every load was going to come to us.
Sure.
Because this really is
that's
my favorite subject.
Yeah. I think as Jim said, that would be almost better. There's more an incentive to get to the end of the year.
Right.
With volume and then give it back, because if you're giving a discount through the whole time, they could all of a sudden say they're cheaper now over here, I'm going there. But most people don't want to give up that money. And a lot of these haulers are smaller companies. They're not, it's not like Waste Industries or Waste Management.
Yes. How about with the permit?
Just say
who. I'm sorry, Jim McDonald, Executive Office. With the permit, you said a minimum, they have to give you $1,000. I'm making a number up, but you'd have to have a minimum discharge in order to get your permit from us in order to make the facility available to you.
Then we'll just
which
to
would
Chester.
Tend to make people be loyal to it.
I said they'll just go to Chester.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're so much higher, $18 compared to $60.
That was Councilman Sheldon, but I have to. That's all right. I was going to call. But I think, and that's probably why the Solid Waste Authority has done it that way, is they know they want that check at the end of the year. If it works for them, maybe we ought to try it.
Is there anything
anybody else have any more questions? What a topic to talk about.
It's like personality.
I've been real good at not saying what it is.
Yeah. Septic eliminations is the best way to say it.
Well,
that's the cleanest.
I don't think we're going to eliminate them.
So. No, but I meant as far as talking about.
To moving the fluid. Any comments from the public? I guess let's move on to the next thing, maybe. Good old public
next
safety.
Bill Cotty. Studio J.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Philip Conte. I'm an architect with Studio G, and I was here in
I didn't see the back behind me.
Okay, so we're here to update you on the assessment and projects that have developed from that public safety building. So a timeline and task to date. So in July 2013, we were contracted by Newcastle County to conduct a facility assessment at the public safety building. And in September 2013, I was here to present the findings of that assessment. In March of 2014, McLaren, Wilson, and Lowry, MWL, conducted a facility survey and a peer review. Basically, they reviewed our documentation and they also surveyed the public safety building. And today, I'm here to present those findings. So, Studio Jade, we're a local architecture and engineering firm, 35 years experience, and we've assessed over 100 million square feet of facilities throughout the country. And McLaren, Wilson, and Lowry is North America's recognized leader in planning and designs of public safety buildings. Okay, so they are the experts of the experts. So collectively, Studio Jade and NWL have identified approximately $5.3 million worth of high priority needs at the public safety building. Approximately $2.2 million in site deficiencies, approximately $3 million in building deficiencies, and about $130,000 in maintenance items. So I want to keep in mind that those findings are items that are either a result of design and or construction deficiencies, items that are negatively affecting the efficiency and functionality of the facility and its operation, and items that are a result of just programmed maintenance. So what we'd like to talk about are the FY 2015 projects. And in terms of site deficiencies, we're looking for $125,000 for emergency generator exhaust scrubbing. In building deficiencies, the list is a little longer. All right. About $4,500 for the abandoning the geothermal field and completing that work. $270,000 for retro commissioning of the HVAC system. The largest item is about $1 million to replace the energy management system. About $150,000 for a couple units that need to be replaced. $300,000 for the HVAC system in the 911 call center. $75,000 for an evidence room exhaust system that currently does not exist. About $20,000 to do some work for the sprinkler system in the holding cell. $90,000 to do some work in the 911 server center. $15,000 for some sprinkler work in the actual call center itself. $30,000 in acoustical improvements to the 911 call center. And about $375,000 to install building-wide emergency power. Maintenance items, some of them minor, some caulking and epoxy work to just tighten up the building envelope. Building envelope work includes about the first four or five items. Just minor maintenance work that is due, servicing the elevator, replace some ballistic glass in the pick room that's cracked, and to replace the ballistic glass at the 911 call center. So in FY 2015, projects totaled $3,069,000, and they're broken down into site deficiencies, $125,000, building deficiencies, $2,800,000, and maintenance item, about $132,000. I'm here to answer any questions you have about the particular scopes of work.
Councilman Sheldon.
If you could go back, I think, a slide or so. Maybe one more. Okay, now let me look. The HVAC system apparently, you know, is the definitely the biggest. Do you think that as a person, you're not an engineer, I know you're an architect, but I mean, I know you have experience in this. Do you think it was a design problem or overall just the contractor? And I know we can't go after them. I'm not asking for Wayne to have an attack because we've already been through that like 3 years ago. But do you think it was it an engineering problem or you just don't know or don't care to ask?
I do not know. I know that it was a decision that was made that may not have been made with the best information prior to that decision being made to install a geothermal system at a public safety building. Jim McLaren, when he was here, commented in his report that there is maybe only one other public safety facility in the country that utilizes a geothermal system. So perhaps at that point in time when that decision was made, it was not made with the best information possible.
I get the geothermal, but then underneath everything else.
Okay, so I would gladly explain that. Commissioning of a HVAC system, to make it as simple as possible, is basically a third party that is brought in to ensure that everything operates as designed and make sure it was installed correctly.
Like an ESCO type of deal.
Yes, and often commissioning is value engineered out of a project. Right? It's not necessary, but it's a good thing to do. That may have happened here. I do not know if this building was ever commissioned, but it must be commissioned. All right? That's how to make sure that the money you're investing now is designed and installed. Commissioning agents are brought in at the beginning of the design process, not at the end, and from a forensic standpoint. The energy management system goes hand in hand with the extensive shift in the system that we're providing inside of the building now. We're not going to have a geothermal system anymore. So your whole energy management system needs to be commissioned and appropriate for the systems that we're installing and to offer all the flexibility that a building that runs 24/7 needs. And one thing to keep in mind, and Jim McLaren, when I met with him as well on his recent visit, made a very good point, which didn't register with me until he said it. You know, this building may only be 10 years old, okay? But this building is running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So this building is really in its 30th year, basically, of service, as opposed to we think of a building that's only 10 years old. Well, the systems have really gone much longer than that, and there's a good. It helps me keep everything in perspective. And then replacing the makeup air unit, that's probably closer to a maintenance item that needs to be done now. And to renovate the floor system of the 911 call center is probably again the best decision was not made at the time with the best information. The system that is in place is not coordinated with the underfloor system. Okay, so the underfloor system was designed along a particular manufacturer of systems, and often in public work, there are approved vendors for certain systems. And the system that was low bidder at that time didn't necessarily align with the floor. Now, at that point in time, there should have been a redesign of the floor system, which was not done, which just wasn't done. So it needs to be done for that space to operate efficiently and correctly. And then the evidence room exhaust was a glaring omission that Jim McLaren recognized immediately, is that there are odors from the evidence area that should be directly exhausted. And we could not find a dedicated exhaust system for the evidence room. And that's the bulk of the work. Some of the sprinkler work is just to maintain the best conditions in the event that there's a problem. All right?
They are there.
Pardon me?
They're just replacing what's there?
Well. So you do not have a pre-action system in the holding cell, which it would be prudent to have, all right? You do not have an FN 200 system in the server room, okay? Which you should have. You have a, you're protected, but you're not protected the best and most appropriate way for the uses of that space. And the, to put a, an abort switch in the 911 call center would allow the wet system to maintain but not go off because that space is manned and there would be a dead man switch that, that would reset. The acoustic issue needs to be addressed in the call center. And then last, the another major item, install building-wide emergency power, which if you recall from last time I presented, your emergency power is limited to that one floor. And emergency power should be distributed throughout the entire building so that it can be manned and staffed accordingly in the event of an emergency.
That's a bigger generator.
No, not a bigger generator. We just need to distribute the emergency power.
Do you have a generator big enough?
Barry Nahi, Special Services. Yeah, we do have two generators there, each 1 megawatt. So we have plenty.
For just getting it to
we just need to add more to it. Yes. Yep. No.
And you mentioned that the generator, one item that is associated with the generator is the exhaust scrubbing. All right. To there's some diesel odors that on certain weather conditions are affecting the people in the 911 call center. So we've got that covered.
Councilman Redder.
Thanks. Can you go back to slide?
This one?
No. It's right there. Yeah. Now, you're talking about the HVAC system, renovate the underfloor system.
Yes.
In what aspect are you talking about that?
That the whole system should be redesigned based on the equipment that is currently there.
What kind of equipment do they have?
All their call center stations. All right, those are laid out, and the underfloor system, the distribution is not aligning. So where the original design intent may be to provide heating and cooling to the attendant in his station, the way the systems are laid out, that diffuser in the floor may be outside his station, or it may be directly underneath of his feet. There's a lack of coordination during the final installation.
Yeah, but are they ducted under there?
Yes, it's an underfloor system.
Yeah, I know. It's an underfloor system. I did that work.
Okay.
When we just blew it in, and then it would pick up and go out. So what type of system is this? Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
Barry Nahi, Special Services. The system that we have, they each, where you have these underfloor, you have actually controls. Each one of them is controlled individually.
Right.
Okay? So you have where they at, it's not really the best way in some of them to be. So you have, that affects the staff. And lots of times you will go in there, you find that they have put something to cover because there's really no need.
I understand that, but what I'm asking is the units that's moving the air, heat or the cooling, or they're Nesbitt, a lot of times they use Nesbitt units. And then when they, or different kinds, sometimes they use Honeywell, but they blow down and then they could, under the floor itself is like a ductwork because you got the base floor and then you got the floor that they stand on.
Yes.
And then they have the grills that come up. And that's only a matter of taking that grill out and moving it.
It's also,
there was also, the engineer also brought up that the units may be not sufficiently sized enough to distribute that air underneath of that area for the load that's on top of it, the heat load that's on top of it.
Jim McDonald has his hand.
I think, Joe, or Councilman, the ones that you're referring to were the old type that was a pressurized subfloor that you would just move the grates around and the air would flow through. This was a system that was actually ducted.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, they're ducted individually to the stations. It's not a forced, pressurized floor system.
So it's not like an ambient floor.
Correct.
It's a duct floor. That's what I was asking.
And the ductwork was designed around a previous set of consoles. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff. And the consoles were ordered and then changed, so all the ductwork was a hodgepodge around the room. And there are some cases that wouldn't even get into the chassis to pull the computer equipment. In some cases, I think it's been corrected somewhat, no?
So are the units the right size?
Did you have something?
air handling units?
Just say air
units. I'm sorry, Jeff Miller.
Yeah, the air handling units. Are they the right size?
I don't know about the HVAC sizing situation, but I can speak to what Mr. McDonald was reporting, is that when the room was originally designed, it was designed for a specific manufacturer's furniture. Those blueprints were provided, and then the ducting was put into place based on, to accomplish two things: create a constant temperature within the room,
right,
and then each workstation would provide its own heat panel. And some of those cooling ducts were designed to blow through the console to keep the equipment inside the console
right, that is
cool as well.
Right.
Unfortunately, somewhere along the way, we did not purchase the equipment that was designed to be on the floor after the floor was installed and the HVAC was installed. So we got much bigger manufactured workstations by a completely different vendor, and we ended up with literally where the center of your chair may be is ductwork blowing cold air up on an employee and none going into the console to keep the equipment
right.
cool.
Right, so it's design wrong.
Yep.
So the monies that we're looking at over here with the $301,000, almost $302,000, is that for design or is that for rework or what is, what's it for?
Just say who you are.
Barry and I, special services. It is for rework. It's redesign and rework.
So in other words, you're gonna check the units out compared to what we need.
Yes.
Or what we have.
Yes.
And then you're going to have to, and because I know the ductwork is not going to be that much to redo.
All that's going to be redone. And also, you're going to have a different system, more likely, because the system that we have now, we can't even get the spare parts for. So that's another thing that will be installed. So a new system altogether for to control those units.
All right. And I got a couple more.
So you want to let her go and you come back.
The exhaust system. Now, what's that $74,000 for?
That's the, currently the evidence room is not directly exhausted by itself. All right, so you are storing material in the evidence room that the distribution should be exhausted directly to the exterior. So there's going to be a significant amount of work associated with that because we're going to be floor penetrations, equipment, controls, room penetrations.
So where's the system in there now? Where's it going?
It would appear.
It's part of it.
So.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Special Services. The drug is venting out to the general evidence room.
So you got multiple exhausts instead of a single exhaust?
Having more, I had a chance to see that recently with Mr. McLaren. There was one exhaust that let out the regular drug. There's a requirement that you need to exhaust that out, not where other people were inhabiting.
That's in the basement, right? So that's where the cost is going.
Their turn, correct. I'll be here all night.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Jeez.
So is this, we assume then that this is something that we're going to do, they suggested we're doing all of it. Is that, or are we, bad words here, are we overly nitpicky here? Or is this something that is absolutely necessary to do every item that's on
there? Wayne Merritt, Special Services. There were some items which we did not do. So it's not every.
So this is your pared down list.
Correct.
This you've edited
would
it already.
Remington.
Okay, and going back to the call center.
They're the ones that supposed to go for sale and stuff.
What if we put these vents in the floor and then we add stations? So your vents still aren't going to be in the right place if you start maneuvering stations around. With, if you have 10 stations and you want to go to 12 and you add something, then those vents aren't going to be in the exact places anymore anyway. So how do you rectify that without having to go through this at
home? Very nice, Special Services. I think I would defer to the chief, but as far as the equipment that it is now, unless if they're going to add a new equipment, what is needed right now, it's not sufficient to for the equipment. What do we have right now? So we need to correct that first, and then for addition, that's something that, you know, I'm not so sure.
Jeff Miller, Emergency Communications. When the project was being installed, cost-saving measures, we reduced three of the workstations. So in theory, we could only grow by three workstations with the current furniture that we have today. The manufacturer is committed to making this same style furniture for at least an additional 10 years. That 10 would put us roughly at 17 years of our 20-year expectancy time before total replacement. But currently, we could identify underneath the floor is pre-wired for radio and computer for those three stations that were never purchased. So we can identify where they would be and air condition the floor for future use.
So you can only grow by three. And if are we expecting that in the next 10 years that that's adequate? Or are we going to come back in 5 years and say, wait a minute, we now have to do that whole HVAC thing again? I mean, we started out, and maybe people on this council know a whole lot more about this than I do, but in the time that I've been here, we started out saying that the cooling system, that unthermal system, was bad. It wasn't installed right, it wasn't big enough, it wasn't whatevers. So we've gone from that
to this.
So, you know, if it's the cooling part of it that isn't right, does that mean that every vent, everything that's put in there wasn't right also and not sized to, if we could adjust just the size of the outside facility?
Very nice, but sorry.
It's going both directions
here. To answer your question, it's not. It's made up of three different systems. Okay, the system for the 911, it's a complete isolated system, but it's also part of the HVAC. So, hit the system that the 911 is completely separate from what is in the other throughout the building. Okay, so when we talked about the changes. That was part of, our thinking, that there is something that needs to be addressed. So I think originally when we started out, it was the major issue was the geothermal, right? Is that?
Yeah.
But see, this is all interconnected.
Okay, well, let me ask this.
Okay.
What would be the cost of doing a new standalone 911 center that has its own system? I mean, understanding that we don't want the electric necessarily to go down in the entire building, however, the important part of the cooling, the heating, the electric, is the 911 center. So if we're spending all of this money, what would it cost us to just do a new center that is today's technology?
The reality, though, very nice special services. With the HVAC system, you cannot just isolate it completely out of the existing system. Because we have what is called.
I'm saying build a whole new standalone building on that.
Oh, that.
I can concur.
That's your call.
You know, I'm going to go back.
No, I think.
Okay, but I'm going to go back to what you say.
Everybody's got their hand up here.
And say, when you renovate an old building, you still have an old building. So, if we need that many systems replaced for the 911 center, why are we not thinking? Not that I want to spend the money.
I was going to say, it's an invite.
But I would like to know, but I guess I would like to know what the comparison is.
I got it. I got a few people here. Jim McDonald, you want to?
Sure. I guess when you look at the surface, you're looking at 300 and some odd thousand to repair an air system. It would probably cost the neighborhood $5 to $10 million to build a 911 center. Just cost
a $1 million, right? But we're talking five.
Five,
right?
That's for the whole building.
But didn't we start this with because of the 911 center problems?
No, it's just a part of it.
The
911 has its own unique set, and Jeff, correct me as I go along. It has its own unique set of problems because of the air distribution, and probably fix some of the electric issues that exist up there, because you have electric posts coming out of the floor at people's feet, things like that, bad design. That system is fed, Barry, correct me if I'm wrong, by the two, was a geofield, now it's two chillers that are outside that feed that. That's all part of a holistic approach to the building. It takes care of everything. There's distribution points within the building that feed the 911 center. It's not a replacement of the outside unit. It's just retrofitting what is already there so that it's properly distributing the air as well as the electric in the room. That probably didn't make any more sense to you.
Did it make sense to you?
You know what? If we took you for a tour, you'd probably understand. Want to go see the 911 center?
Absolutely, sure. Why not?
Right. We'll take you down, but what we can do is walk you through and show you so you can, you know, some instance, 3 feet in the middle of nowhere is a power distribution and an air duct, just in the middle of the room. It makes no sense. But if you see it, it would make sense to how it has to be reconfigured to work properly.
Until we add a few stations.
And not one, you don't add stations, you actually add cooling stations that come up through the cabinets. We went through probably 150, 200 computers in there on the onset just because they burned up through the heat. Yeah. And we're hoping to avoid that in the future. But if we walked you through, you might get a better sense of what we're talking about. And then I'm going to sell you a lunar sign.
We've got one more, John.
We've actually got another presentation after. I know. It's really a good news story. I would like to get that on the agenda for today. Sorry. Just a quick point. I understand exactly what Councilor Patrick's saying. Now, I bet you if you asked Jeff Miller, he'd love to have a new building, but I bet you that new building would start about $10 million. The most expensive part of any public safety facility is that communication center.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't just be able to take everything and move it into the new building. The state of the art. The one thing, and I wish Mr. McLaren had closer offices than Phoenix, Arizona, but Director Bryant is sitting here. And when we sat there, and you hear a man who is recognized throughout the country as the person, the firm to go to, it almost seemed like you're watching some movie. He was talking about, and I think, was it Salt Lake City, Jeff?
Yes.
They have a fusion center next to their communication center. Now, certain locations have a lot of cameras around. What they have is some elderly lady gets her pocketbook stolen, and she has this, somebody calls, they're just a strong arm robbery. What street yet? You know, Green Street. And Fifth Avenue. In the next room, there's a guy on a headset who's checking cameras. He says, "Is that guy got a raincoat? Yep. Okay, we got it." I mean, we're heading into a world that, as the county executive talked about, that his budget address is not the policing that I used to know. Okay, it's almost like a fiction movie. So that's where they're heading. Now, I don't know if that's going to be in this county the next 10 years or 15 years, but eventually they're going to outgrow that. But for $300,000 versus a new $10 million building someplace, which I know they'd love to have, and probably will be needed in 15 years or something like that. Because, and then, you know, clearly you could use that as part of the public safety building for expansion. But
because that was part of the
Councilwoman
other thing. That was the other part of the discussion, if I remember back when we first started this discussion, was that they're outgrowing the public safety building. So, you know, if you think ahead, and again, you know, I'm the last one that ever wants to spend taxpayers' money, but if you think ahead, why are we not looking at this comprehensively? You know, so we fix this, we fix the 911 center, you outgrow the public safety building, now we have to move the 911 center, or we have to somehow build around something else to expand the public safety building. I mean, we're talking, what was your bottom line here, $5 million or something like that? So, you know, we're already talking $5.3 million. Why are we not looking out and figuring out how we're going to fix the whole thing rather than
piecemeal
it? Thank you.
But $5 million is of the police station.
It's the whole building itself.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that, but if they're going to outgrow the building on top of all the issues with the 911 center, I just think that maybe this is truly just the Band-Aid over something that needs a cast.
Well, Jeff Miller, Emergency Communications, just to give an idea that, you know, with 3 years left to hit the 10-year mark, we're already looking to replace the phone system for the second time since we've moved in, and 5 years again after that. And that comes from E911 state money. along with a computer upgrade. So we're looking at, within 13 years, forecasting when our complete redesign would be. And that includes the furniture, because the furniture life expectancy was 20 years. But even with McLaren's recommendation, like you say, we're outgrowing the public safety building. Even if we left there today, they still have to maintain the same area facility for whoever moves into that room next. So the air conditioning is still going to be the same problem for that square footage.
So you scrap the farmer's market, you move the fire.
You took the words right out of
there. He took the words right out of there.
You know, part of it is with your technology. I mean, like you said, you could start something else that's going to get out before you go.
I see that.
If you go to what you were saying, a purchase person of interest, like on TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's probably what's coming on.
Oh, no.
You know, how are we ever going to fit that into something?
It's coming.
He didn't even talk to us.
But anyone else have any more questions? Any from the public? Let's move on to the Bacon County. Go ahead. I asked. You didn't put your hands.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm chairing this thing. I can run right by you.
I'm moving slow today.
You got moved.
Yeah. Bob Osterbach, County Auditor's Office. You had mentioned in your presentation that in March, MWL did the facility survey and peer review. Was that kind of to validate what you guys came up with?
Yes.
Okay. And my other question is, and it's probably the big elephant in the room, is what's going on as far as exploring any recourse that we have against the construction manager and the owner's rep on the public safety building project?
Wait a minute, gentlemen, I believe we're pretty much time barred on the first thing, anything.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Issues.
Yeah.
I can have several conversations with our attorneys.
It's a goodbye.
Anything else? Anyone else on this topic? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil Conti, once again.
And we'll see if we can fill
now
some of
the good news story.
Yeah, I was going to say, see if we can fill some of these vacant buildings.
The good news story.
The good news is this is the last presentation, and I brought pictures.
Oh, jeez. Did you bring the popcorn?
That's what I want.
I'll get a popcorn machine and put it in there. You got to make it, John.
It makes it sound good.
You got to put stuff in.
I'll probably need money for that, though. I've heard of that if I do.
I'm Bob Merle from Special Services.
I'm Bob Merle with Special Services, and I'll give you an update on county-owned properties.
Sure.
We met council back in June of 2005 and discussed some of the options that we had, and we had three categories that we were able to list. 2012.
And we were able to list it. Really
we have the resident curatorship program, possible lease agreements, and alternative plans to be developed. So with that, we have fulfilled all three of those obligations, and I'd like to share that with you today. This is the residence that we bought about a year and a half or 2 years ago. It's in the front of Carousel Park. We had to put some minor electrical repairs and a good cleanup to it. I think we replaced some carpet and paint, some pretty much cosmetics. I'm happy to say that we have a police officer that's currently in that house for a long-term lease agreement with us. She takes care of the rent as well as the utilities, and she also provides security for the Carousel Park. This is the gardener's cottage up at Rockwood. There has been some discussions about making this the new home of the canine patrol. That's ongoing conversations. It has some real work that needs to be done. I believe there's some structural damage that needs to be taken a look at, has to be taken care of. And we also have to make sure that we're under the historic preservation guidelines. So that's kind of a work in progress right now, but there has been some discussions about making that the canine unit center. This is the Porter Lodge, also at Rockwood. This is ready to go to be leased to a police officer. The problem was that we had to do some, I forget what it's called, the asbestos mitigation there. So that number of $7,000 is not correct. It's more in par to somewhere around $80,000. Sometime last winter, we're going to have an open house there, and we found out that the heating system failed, and that several pipes burst and just ruined the entire place. So that's currently under review by our building maintenance people. That ultimately will be leased to a police officer, also under the same, they'll pay the rent, the utilities, and they'll provide police security for the park area. This is Lovett Farm down on 729 Marl Pig Road. We have a lease agreement with two police officers that will be moving in there. As a matter of fact, they'd like to move in yesterday, but we're just waiting for the lease to get signed off. They're going to make a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 investment into Lovett Farms, into the farmhouse, to bring it back up. That's also a home that busted water pipes have been a problem, and there were some HVAC problems. So we're currently looking at what it would cost to fix that plumbing, what the HVAC will cost. But we feel pretty good about this property. Again, we'll have two police officers living there and their family. Another layer of security for us as well. And there's also a lot of other things that are going on at the Lovett Farm, but I'll talk a little bit more about that, and I'm sure Councilman Powell will have something to say about that as well. This is the Duncan Road facility that we have. It's on the back side of Delcastle Park. This is currently being utilized by the canine unit until they can transition into another facility, which is at Rockwood. They are currently housed there. This is a really nice facility. We can do a lot of things here. We can actually rent it out if it's ready to go. So there's been a lot of modifications there. Again, it's ready to go. It's just a matter of if the canine unit decides that they're going to go to Rockwood, this would become available. Currently, it's not available.
Would that be rented as a house?
We can rent that as a house. We can rent that as an office. It has handicapped accessibility.
It's got a parking lot.
We also use this currently in the summertime for community services. They have their day camps there, so they have a few weeks that they're at that location. So they're going to have to share a little bit with the canine unit. We'll make sure there's no dogs there when the kids are there. But that's what that facility is used for right now. And it's really working out well for both. So. This is 815 Wilson Road. This is on the back side of Talladega Park. This residence is also going to be under lease for a police officer. We'll be moving forward with that. This has a little bit of cosmetic work that needs to be done. This facility has typically been used, again, by community service for a summer camp program. So there's some things that we had to fix. There were a few broken windows, but all in all, it's pretty sound. There are four structures that I'll show you as we continue through this program of some barns that need to be demoed, and we have those permits currently. So we're looking to get the unsafe barns taken down, finish up the renovations that we have to do there, and then we will be leasing that to a police officer. We have a commitment from him and to move in. The Bechtel House on Naaman's Road. This continues to be under evaluation by us. This is a beautiful house on the exterior, but it has been really destroyed on the interior by vandals. It's been set on fire. It's been broken into a couple times. It actually has a fenced-in area. They've cut the fence several times and gotten in. This will be a very expensive renovation job, and I don't know if anybody is interested in that at this time. It's there, and again, it's just a work in progress. That's one of ours that we just have not been able to move quickly. This is the J. Gregg House. It's right across from Delcastle Golf Course. I'm happy to say that this is under lease today with a Newcastle County employee who works in the Special Services Department. He and his wife are very interested in maintaining this house as well. They're going to make a $50,000 investment into the house. They will be leasing it again, and they will maintain the utilities and everything else that goes with the house. So they're currently working on that today. These are some of the demolitions that we're looking at. The Tally Day House, that's going to come under historic review, and I think most council members were here when Councilman Weiner said if we don't get anybody to take that house, he would be in for raising it. So we've finally gotten to that point where we've got to make that decision. The Churchman's Road House, that has been completed. That's demoed. That's right behind the Special Services Department. That's going to be part of a repurposed area for special service, more the sewer department than anything. So, Sunset Lane, both the upper and lower, that's the Hermitage. So we are currently looking at getting demo permits for that as well. Not exactly sure where we're going with that because there's a lot of dialogue about what's going on at the Hermitage, but we've at least identified that these are two pretty bad homes, and again, there's some ongoing discussions on what we're going to do there. At the bottom is the Vaughn property, 619 Marl Pit Road. This clearly is a historic registered residence. We are looking at getting a demo permit. We were out there with some contractors last week. It's really in bad shape, but I did talk to our historic person in Newcastle County, and she's very sure that this is a well-documented residence, so it will preserve its historic value in document, and there may be something that we put there as a placeholder for that. It is really in very bad condition. 1370 Shell Boss Lake Road, that's a barn that's been sitting there for, Councilman, you probably know more than I did, many, many, many years. And it's
Is that a pole shed?
No. No, it looks like it. I don't think that's not a pole shed. It's a pole barn. Our construction
is
support.
A pole barn? Is it a pole barn? Or
yeah.
It's blocked the concrete. I've been up to it. It's been a long time.
It's a block, though.
Yeah, it's probably a pole barn.
No, I don't think it is. Yeah.
Really?
This is a barn that the construction support people put a lot of their equipment in when they were doing work down south. It's unsafe at this point. So we want to make sure that that's taken down so that nobody can get hurt. We've discussed many times in this chamber about the Camp Wright. We are moving forward with Camp Wright. There is a resident that lives up at Camp Wright, and they have continued, they really like living there, but all these buildings have been condemned. And we had some contractors out last Friday to give us demo estimates on this. So, I think we're going down south.
Right,
yes, so that Reverend Bullock was interested in this at one time, and it's just not going to work out, I think, the way he wants it to work out. So we think we've created an opportunity down at Marl Pit Road. These are two locations that we have current signed demo permits for. The top is 815 Wilson Road. So I shared with you the other slide that said here's where the police officer and family are going to go. These are the barns that need to be taken down. They're unsafe. We don't think it's reasonable to have these barns up there, especially when he has young kids there, because we know that's only going to create another problem. So that demo permit is issued. It's just a matter of what the pricing is on that. The other slides below are 729 Marl Pit Road. Councilman Powers, myself, and some others were out a few weeks ago, and as you can see, every picture there needs to be taken down. So we had that demo permit. We just got that last week, and we're moving forward with that.
They're all sheds off the main barn.
Off the main barn.
The main barns is, if we can share it up on that one end here, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, the actual barn itself
is in good shape.
From the inside is very good. So those will be taken down fairly quickly since we have the issued demo permits. These are things that we're looking at in the future. Of course, the Tally Day House, the Hermitage I just talked about, Camp Wright, the Vaughan House, and I'm sorry I spelled that wrong, it's the Prest property. So we'll be moving on that. Again, we met with contractors and we went to every one of these locations. We're just waiting for their proposals to see what we can and can't accomplish with that. This is the best story that we have for you, and I'm happy to say that this is our only curatorship program that we currently have. This is the Woodstock property at Banning Park. This afternoon we had Jane and John, who are the resident curators, are sitting in the back with us today. It's been a wonderful relationship for both of us. We've all had some trials and tribulations with some trespassers and some people that were maybe a little bit more inquisitive than they should have been, but today we're doing fine. These are some before photographs of the facility, and these are some work that these two have done.
Congratulations.
Looks good.
Beautiful.
I gotta tell you, I know exactly where this room is. It was the worst of the worst. So I can tell you that that's 200% better. It's not 100%, it's 200% better. This is another just beautiful, and this is what our curators are doing. Great. Unfortunately, we don't have a John and Jane available to take all of our properties like they're doing right now. So they'll be renovating for the next 5 years. After that 5-year period, twice a year, which I'm sure one of them will be Halloween, they will have open houses where the public can come in and see what happened and how that progressed. So that's where we are today with the curatorship program. We'd love to keep it going, but it's, again, that's finding John and Jane was just our luck. So here's where we are today, a quick summary. Jane and John are residing and renovating currently at the Woodstock Carousel Park. We have a police officer living there. The Gardner College is cottage is under renovation. The Porter House, we're looking or discussing moving them over to the canine patrol. Duncan Road is canine currently. There's a lot of opportunity there once that decision is made one way or the other on what we want to do. The street property, a police officer and his family will be moving in. Lovett Farm, a police officer and his family will be moving in. 3200 Mill Creek Road, he's there. He's not living there yet. He can't do that, but he's been doing a lot of cleaning and doing some renovating there. And 3800 is a police officer that currently lives there with her daughter. And I can tell you that all these have been opportunities that just have occurred over the last year or so. So we've made some good strides in some of our vacant properties, and it's good to have the police officers there because they're mostly living in regional parks, which had added security for us. Bechtel, and I'm sure Tally Day is always going to be a decision. We'd like to take that down, but I'm sure there's going to be some discussion to that. Do you have any questions?
Is the Tally Day, that house on Wilson Road, or how?
On Falk, right next to the library.
Right on Falk. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, right next to the library.
It's kind of buried there.
Yeah.
So there's a house on the back side there with a barn on Wilson Road.
That's the one the police officers taking. Okay. That's at 815 Wilson Road.
Is that barn, the little back barn, what are you taking down?
Yeah, so it's down.
So, you know, you ought to look at maybe some farmers to take it down for the barn. That's nice. For the beans.
Well, I will say this.
Instead of throwing them all away.
Well, we took the barn down at Tally Day. Weiner, who's not here, and I don't like to say this, but he would agree. He wanted us to take it down piece by piece, and we did do that, and we stocked it. The only problem was it was infested with termites. So we spent a lot of money to take it there.
What I'm saying to you, if it is decent, it probably won't even cost you anything. They will take it.
Take it away.
And they'll take it away. That's how a lot of barns are moved. I mean, that doesn't cost us anything. And if it is infested, they won't take it.
We burn it.
Then call the fire company. That'll be the quickest way to get it.
Training exercise.
Yeah.
I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Because it'll be a lot less once it's in a little heat.
A little ash.
That's what we're doing.
That the whole idea of providing somebody with the opportunity to take these things apart and take the building, I mean, if it's got termites, nobody's going to want it. But I just think that, you know, there are people who will do that. I mean, in Christiana, I don't know if Joe remembers this, but Christiana Presbyterian had the oldest existing building in the village of Christiana. And when it was a disaster on the inside, but what they did was they went through the process, they got a demolition permit for it, but they found somebody, I think through Professor Ames at the University of Delaware, who would come, take it down, take the pieces back to Pennsylvania, and reconstructed it. I mean, it was a tavern from the 1700s. So there was some value to it, but they had the UD grad students come in and do the historic survey before they took it down. But I think through Dr. Ames, they found somebody who wanted the building.
Okay.
So there may be some contacts there to take these things
down.
I
have to agree. I mean, even some of the beams.
Mm-hmm.
I have an Amishman friend that has a sawmill. He goes in the south to those old mills and pulling them yellow pine beams out, and they're sawing them down and make in the floors and stuff. So what you might think isn't worth anything, it's a shame to haul it away. If it's termite infested, they're going to be the first to tell you they don't want it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
But this was a win-win situation because whoever wanted the building took the building,
mm-hmm.
and the church was able to get it off of the property, and the U of D got a historic survey out of it. So
sure, okay, yeah, I appreciate that.
If there's anything good in there, somebody will get it out of it.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. Is there anybody else have any questions? Any from the public? I just want to thank them for coming.
That's great.
The job you did. Those floors must have been fun having to do them.
Yeah, it was fun.
What I saw was you did a great job. You're doing a great job. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah.
No. The pictures speak for themselves.
Maybe we can put them on our television stations of our own HGTV.
Hey,
there you have it.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Special Services. I want to thank Bob for the work he's been doing on all these properties, and John and Jane. I was over there early on when they first went in there, and I couldn't envision. When I saw these pictures that Bob had, I said, this is amazing. It was as bad as you can imagine, and now what you see, it really, and I don't know if we videotaped the place beforehand. I know there were certain pictures taken, but I can't imagine what kind of thing you show you could have from before and after.
Then you don't watch HGTV.
I don't.
No, you need
we
my
know.
Wife watching.
I'm sorry about that.
I get to watch
it. I haven't put it on my schedule.
They do reruns.
This morning,
yeah.
7 o'clock.
All the time. It's HGTV. But you really probably could do something, especially on our county. Do something on what they're doing. I mean, that's great.
It
might prompt somebody else to want to do it.
Right.
On the web.
The Becto House is another beautiful place.
Yeah. Yeah.
We take them on the project there.
But I mean, it might help to get some of these others if somebody sees what's happening. Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye. Whose name?
Wayne. Wayne.